Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we begin our program by talking with you about phenology and the study of phenology. And you know what? I am looking right now at a Wisconsin wildlife phenology calendar. It is a gorgeous calendar, and it's we'll certainly talk about how you might get your hands on one of them. But we also want to go into some detail about the study of phenology. What is it exactly? Where did it come from? What is it telling us? Maybe if you have heard about phenology before, maybe you think it's kind of interesting. What's the most interesting part of it for you? Do you pay any attention to and note the cycles of nature around you? We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. Maybe you've got some cool photos that you could put up there, or just ask a question off the Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. As we visit with our two guests today, Janine Richards is the communications coordinator for the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Janine, great to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry. Great to be here.
And Rachel Sammerdike is the private lands biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services Leopold Wetland Management District. Rachel, welcome.
Thank you, Larry.
It's great to have you both. And, you know, before we even start, a private lands biologist. Now, you know, people might think about that and say, well, what if she goes on people's property and looks at the biology of it?
Well, kind of. I work for a program called the Partners for Fish and Wildlife, and it is through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And I help private landowners restore wildlife habitat on their property. 80% of land is privately owned in the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And so I work with those private landowners to restore the wildlife habitat.
Very, very cool. And, you know, that certainly kind of relates to our topic today, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
In a lot of ways, Janine, I think.
Yeah, I think it definitely does. One of the great things about phenology is that it is so place-based, and people can take advantage of the land that they have, whether you have 80 acres out in the country or a little city lot in Madison, you can keep track of phenological events.
Where does that word come from?
Phenology actually comes from a Greek word, pheno, which means to appear. And so it's the study of appearances, the study of occurrences when things happen over the course of the year.
Okay. And a lot of people, and Aldo Leopold was one of those people, I guess, who really took note of when various things happened in the outdoors.
Yeah. Aldo Leopold took very detailed notes on just about everything in the outdoors, wherever he was. And one of the things that he noted in particular was phenological events. In fact, he had in what we call the shack journals, which were his notations that he kept while he was at his shack in Baraboo. He has a category for phenology that he recorded every time they were spending a weekend up there.
Yeah, but of course he didn't invent it. It's been around for a phenology. The study of phenology has been around for a long, long time, hasn't it, Janine?
Sure. It's an ancient study. People have been tracking phenological events. There are phenology records in China and Japan that go back thousands of years, and people all over the world are keeping track of phenology in their own places.
Dave in Augusta has a comment. Let's go there. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. When I was younger, a teenager, I would track the arrival of the Canada geese to Pine Island, which is right down the road from where the shack is, I guess, in Portage.
Yep.
And it would be March 17th. I mean, it would be right on March 17th that I'd see the first geese arriving at Pine Island. And then in the fall, it'd be September 17th. And that was... I got it documented between 1971 and 1978. I know that's been a long time ago. But it just seemed like a switch was flipped and those geese would come down right at that time, and I would be there about 2 or 3 days before that, wouldn't see a goose, and 2 or 3 days after that. It was just an amazing thing. Now, I don't know about, you know, whether that's true or not, or, you know, there's any fact behind that, but it just seemed to work for me. I could always tell by the middle of September on the 17th that the geese would be coming down from Canada.
That's a great story. And while you were telling that, Dave, all three of us were looking at the phenology calendar that we have in front of us to see what it was recording for those days.
Yeah.
Well, we've got an Easter meadowlark arrivals, I think, on March 17th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reported. And see, now, if you had this calendar for September 17th, you would be writing in the geese left, or the geese to begin to leave.
The geese to begin to leave, yes.
And in March 17th, you'd be writing in, geese arrived.
Exactly correct. And I could use it for probably other birds like robins and bluebirds and things like that. It sounds like a great thing to get, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's have Janine talk a little more about that. And Rachel, Janine, you want to?
Sure. And just as a point of reference, in the calendar, we have Canada geese spring arrival on February 25th. Mm-hmm. So it seems like it may be occurring a little bit earlier than what you witnessed in the 70s, Dave.
Yeah.
And also, Aldo Leopold's data from 1936 to 47 show them arriving March 22nd.
Oh.
So there has been some shift in their arrival.
Ah, yeah. So it's actually from the time he was observing it to when you observed it, about 5 days difference.
Not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad. Well, you got to get your hands on one of these calendars, I guess. That's all there is to it, Dave.
You bet. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, man. What? And we can talk about how to get those calendars, certainly. We had, and I think going right along with this, we had an email from Ellen in Wausau. What are your recommendations for beginning a phenology notebook? Are there certain things that are important to take note of and pay attention to? Should a person draw or take photos? What kind of format do you, or is there a format that you might adhere to?
Well, Ellen, one of the great beauties of keeping track of phenology is that you can really do it any way you want to. If you want to take photos or draw, if you have artistic tendencies that pull you in that direction, then that's a great way to keep track of it. Nina Leopold Bradley, Aldo Leopold's daughter, kept track of phenology from the mid-1970s until her death earlier this year. And she kept a notebook where she would have the average dates over the course of time that she had been observing, and then she would have a space to write in the date for all of the events that she tracked, and she tracked several hundred events over the course of the year.
There you go. And Edie, an aquatic ecologist, emailed in to say Gary Fulis, herbarium curator and educator at UW Green Bay, has been tracking records of important natural events since 2000 in the UW Green Bay's Cochran Center for Biodiversity web, and they have a website. And he integrated phenology into many of the grad classes that he taught, particularly when a certain pond on campus froze over or a particular tree first flowered for the year.
Mm-hmm. And I know here in Madison, there's been long-term data sets that show when the lakes have frozen over that have actually been used to talk about and document climate change.
Yeah, and so lots of people involved. And that website is UW Green Bay. It's .edu/biodiversity. But I think if you go to UW Green Bay Phenology, you're probably going to find it. And I bet Judith probably puts it up on our Facebook page. So we'll put that up on the Facebook page as well. We already have a link to the calendar that we've been discussing here with our two guests, Janine and Rachel. You can join in, by the way, if you have questions or comments or experiences of your own with phenology. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. www.thelarrymealershow.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show, and we can certainly post it there, as Judith is doing with that UW Green Bay site. Gene in Oshkosh, let's go to you. Hi, Gene. Thank you for calling.
Hey, good morning, Larry. And what I'm going to speak to is would be of concern to you, because I was found a spot with muskie.
Ah.
But the purpose of this call is to congratulate the federal Fish and Wildlife representative. I happen to have had the opportunity to tour the educational facility of U.S. Fish and Wildlife in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, which is on the Potomac River, where the muskie are, Larry. And I just wanted to convey the idea that these are federal dollars spent beautifully, devoted to education protecting our wildlife. The facility itself is well worthwhile touring, and I certainly enjoyed it. So,
wow.
Congratulations! It's really one of these things, Larry, where you pay taxes, but this is a lot of bang for the buck.
Yeah. All right. I agree with you on that, Gene. And Rachel, I'm sure you'd like to comment.
I believe he's talking about the National Conservation Training Center in the...
It's in West Virginia, but yes, I am. And
okay.
Have you taken courses there?
I have, and it is a beautiful facility, and well worth every penny.
Yeah.
Yes, and especially when you can take your fly rods at the gate and go on down to the river and catch smallmouth.
Absolutely.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much, Gene. And the Fish and Wildlife Service, all right, so they have training there and learning there, but a lot of what the Fish and Wildlife Service does is of an educational nature, isn't it, Rachel?
Yes, I would say a majority of the landowners that I meet are to educate them about the wildlife they have on their property.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to, thank you again for calling. Mo in Madison, we go to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, good morning. I had some experience in this line while I was in Park Falls, Wisconsin, a few years ago. In phenology, if you can, I don't know the general term, phenology. I was counting the otters in the private lake, Lake Snores. And I was counting the eagles in some areas in Park Falls. And all kind of natural or nature's, phenology work. How can I contact this Fish and Wildlife in this program and become a volunteer or paid volunteer?
All right. Paid or unpaid volunteer. You know what? Probably the Aldo Leopold Foundation. I don't know if there is volunteer opportunities there or not. Is there, Janine?
There are a few volunteer opportunities, mostly related to birding. We're part of an important bird area, the Leopold Memorial Reserve, and also the Pine Island Wildlife Refuge, which was mentioned earlier, are part of an important bird area, and we do bird surveying that's all volunteer-based every year.
So Mo might get involved in that. Where would he go online to the Leopold Foundation website?
AldoLeopold.org.
AldoLeopold.org. Actually, we probably have it up. Yeah, we do. We have it up on our Facebook page, Mo. So if you want to go there, click on there. You can get yourself hooked up with the Aldo Leopold Foundation. But also, Rachel, are there volunteer opportunities with U.S. Fish and Wildlife?
Yes. Through a National Wildlife Refuge, they are always looking for volunteers to help maintain trails or lead talks, or you can get involved in the friends groups that are often associated with wildlife refuges.
And so how do we go about doing that?
Contact a local refuge is the best way.
Okay, so Horicon Marsh, would be a possibility, for example?
Yeah, sure. Or Nisida Wildlife Refuge.
Nisida, sure.
Or Horicon National Wildlife Refuge.
All right, so those are some opportunities for you, Mo. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Janine Richards, Communications Coordinator for the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Rachel Samardyke is Private Lands Biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. We're talking with them today about the phenology. We've strayed off into related areas, certainly, and talking also about the Wisconsin Wildlife Phenology Calendar that you're going to have a chance to take a look at, hopefully, in the near future, and visiting with them. If you have questions or comments, I think we have one open line. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you with your questions there, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Larry Mueller here. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking phenology today with Janine Richards, Communications Coordinator with the Aldo Leopold Foundation, Rachel Samardyke, Private Lands Biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, our guests today. And Tim in Wautoma has a comment or question for you guys. Let's go to Tim. Hi, Tim.
Well, good morning, Larry. Good morning to your wonderful guests. I don't have a question. I have more of a comment. One is for people who are looking into this, they have to realize that because of one letter in the word, it can change to something different. Phenology, I've been tracking that for years here at Hawkhaven Greenhouse, Wautoma. And if you put an R in after the PH, it becomes phrenology, and that is a totally different aspect. It has to do with nerves.
Yeah.
But that's really kind of beside the point. But for people that are researching, leave the R out of it. Now I have been tracking birds here in the Wautoma area, northwest of town, for many years, and I just keep a simple spreadsheet in my computer, a piece of paper and pen in my pocket as I'm going around, and I notice when males or females of various species come through or leave. Example, rose-breasted grosbeaks. The males always show up first. 2-3 days later, the females show up. It's very simple to do, creating a spreadsheet in columns, the date, the type of bird or animal, whatever the case may be, not only in the spring, but also in the fall. It's a very simple thing to do. I don't take pictures or drawings because from my wonderful grandmother, I've been watching birds for over 50 years. And this is such a simple thing to do in a spreadsheet, that piece of paper in your pocket. Now, one thing is, I'm focused to my place here, my little plot of land.
Yeah.
But as I'm driving around, I see certain things. I don't necessarily put it into the log because I'm trying to keep the log directed to my property here. But I do see when, just 10 days ago, thousands of sandhill cranes and the marshes south of Lake Porygon, grouping to head south. Things like this I will write down, but not necessarily in the phrenology log because it doesn't relate to my place here. But it's a wonderful thing to do, and you can see where the zone changes are happening. For it seems every year in the fall, the nighthawks, when they come through a little earlier, and they come through going north a little earlier, just like that fella noticed about the Canada geese.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Thank you very much.
All right.
I hope more and more people do this. They'll have a better love and understanding of their local environment.
Oh, that's great, Tim. Thank you very much for calling. And Janina, comment?
Yeah, that's great, Tim. Thanks for sharing your experiences with phenology over the years. I think for people that are just starting out on this or want to get started in tracking phenology to learn more about the place that they live in, the calendar is a great way to get started because it gives you some average dates, lets you know what you might be looking out for, and it gives you a place to write down what you observe.
And let's talk about that. We haven't really talked about the calendar very much here yet. So can you explain the calendar for us so people know what they're going to find if they purchase it? And Rachel, do you want to do that?
Sure. The calendar actually was the idea of a private lands biologist named Rhonda Krieger, who unfortunately passed away in 2008. And she was always looking for ways to instill a conservation ethic, in the landowners that she met and worked with every day, as well as educating future generations. And one day, a calendar from another state ended up on her desk, and she said, "Wow, I think Wisconsin should have a calendar." And so she started making phone calls. She called different people from different organizations. She called Greg Kidd from the Natural Resource Conservation Service and John Exo from UW Extension, who then led them to Bruce Webendorfer and Jeffrey Strobel, who have been absolutely instrumental in the creation of this calendar. And then the next thing was to contact Nina Leopold Bradley, who was Aldo Leopold's daughter. And they had a meeting, and she graciously donated her data. The data was averaged, which is now in the calendar. And that's how the calendar came to be.
And so the data that are in the calendar are data that from Nina.
Yes. Well, it's from Nina. The average dates are from Nina, and there are dates from Aldo Leopold, which are in purple. So you can tell the difference.
So you can see where Aldo Leopold's dates and Nina's dates. And then in addition to that, as you talk about beautiful, Janine, the photography in here is gorgeous, stunning.
The photography is stunning in here, and we had a number of contributing photographers that provided us with great work, all gratis to the project. So we really appreciate the photographers that we've had. Many of them are wildlife biologists themselves, and so they're out there in the field working on protecting these species and also taking pictures of them so that other people can appreciate them a little bit more.
It's absolutely, absolutely stunning pictures. And so it's a calendar you're going to want to have hung up in your home somewhere or in your – mine will be in my office for sure. We'll have that hanging up in the office. And a great reminder all year round of things to come. What does it cost, and how do we get copies of it?
The Aldo Leopold Foundation has them available in our bookstore for $10 okay. plus shipping, and that's just at aldoleopold.org. You can go right to – there's a link right on the homepage.
So I obviously wanted to get that in before the time got away from us. So if you just go to aldoleopold.org. We have it up on our Facebook page, and you can click there, go right to it, take a look. You'll see the cover page, at least. There's a picture there. So, and
they are also available at the UW Extension website.
At the UW Extension website as well. Okay, so there are lots of ways to get a copy of the calendar. Sandy and Hurley, let's go to you now. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. I wanted to share with the listening audience something that living up here in the North Woods, there is an amazing, meticulous phenologist named John Bates.
Mm-hmm.
He has published 4 books. One of them is called Graced by the Seasons, or at least a couple of them are. And one's for winter, one's for winter, fall, and then spring, summer. They are amazing. He keeps track of everything nature. He does a lot of birding, which is probably the primary thing that he keeps track of. But it's really worth looking into if you live up here in the North Woods. He lives in the Manitowish Waters area, which is just north of Minocqua. So he does somewhat concentrate on his neighborhood, but what has happened over the years is that a lot of locals will call him with their sightings of various things, and he keeps track of those also.
Yeah, and John and Frank, John's been a guest on this show quite a few times, actually, and you're right, he's a wonderful guy, and he's some great books, and I don't know if Rachel or Janine, if you are familiar with his books, but he really does a great job. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
I appreciate it very much. John Bates, great guy, too. Ned in Wausau, on to you. Hi, Ned.
Hi. I'm a limnologist, which is a freshwater ecologist.
Mm-hmm.
And in graduate school, all people that study limnology in America probably have studied Virgin Judae's work on Lake Mendota. And yep. For long-term records, such as ice cover on the lake, we have records from 1880 to 1940, 60 years worth of data from Burge, who the Burge Hall was named for
right.
on UW-Madison campus, and also Judae, who was a little bit younger, continued that record, and that record is continuous right to today, 130 years later. So that kind of database is not very readily available for most things in North America, and we should be proud in Wisconsin for having such a long tradition of studying lakes and ice cover and many, many other aspects of lakes in Wisconsin. So I'm very happy to be from Wisconsin and to have studied at the University of Wisconsin. And I think that this is a treasure we need to recognize, that I don't think there is any other lake in North America with that kind of long-term database.
Yeah.
So I just want to make people aware of that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling in. Ned is exactly right. It is the, I believe it's the most studied lake in the world, if I'm not mistaken. And Janine?
I think that's right. Yeah. I know that it's very important, and it's been compared with other long-term records of a lake, I believe, in Siberia and another lake in Japan that have long-term ice cover data as part of studies that are trying to document climate change.
And, of course, it's been taking longer for the ice to come in, and it's going out earlier mm-hmm. is what we're seeing. Jessica in Jim Falls, Wisconsin. Hi, Jessica.
Good morning, Larry.
You're in a pretty part of the state, too.
Oh, we sure are. It's gorgeous, and that's part of the reason why I'm calling this morning.
Ah.
I just tuned in and find this conversation quite fascinating. We've been in this spot for about 6 years now, and for the last, this is our third year kind of just documenting on our calendar the wildlife that we're seeing, and we've got everything from coyotes to bears to raccoons and you name it, plenty of deer. It's been a lot of fun. Just kind of what I do is I take my regular calendar, and every time we see a bear run across the yard or something, we go ahead and write that down. And then each year as I transfer over to a new calendar, I just tally it up on the top so we kind of can keep track of the frogs and dragonflies and bears. And it's really quite interesting to flip back and check that out every year and kind of know what to expect.
Absolutely. Comment, Janine?
Yeah, that's great. It is fun, isn't it, Jessica?
It really is, and I appreciate you coming on the show today and speaking about this. I didn't realize it was an actual, you know, topic necessarily. It was just something that we started doing for ourselves.
Well, it's this phenology is what it's called. And someone said, "Would you spell phenology?" And so we'll do that. It's phenology. Phenology, not phrenology. There's no R in it.
Perfect. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for calling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, appreciate the call very much. And Jim in DeForest, it's your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Larry. And you guys say, I listen to you all the time, Larry. I really like your shows, but I'm a farmer.
Yep.
7 years. So you can imagine what I've seen.
Oh, boy.
And my brother and I used to follow things, but we never wrote them down. I never heard of phenology.
Oh.
But I know now. But anyway, your show is really interesting. And I used to be on the AFC County Committee, and we worked with the Fish and Wildlife, and they were some of the nicest people of anybody we worked with.
You're exactly right. They are wonderful. Jim, thank you. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. 70 years, you saw a lot on the land and how the land may have changed. And really, farmers, you're a lot like a lot of farmers I know who could pretty much tell you within a few days when various events are going to take place in the outdoors. And Janine, because they're out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right, Larry, that oftentimes farmers and hunters and fishermen, people that spend a lot of time in the outdoors, are very naturally attuned to these things, even if they're not actually writing down the records.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it, Jim.
Yeah, thank you for the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. I just have to mention we had a beautiful photo put up on our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page if you have a chance to. Rolf has a picture taken on a crisp, calm morning in Egg Harbor, Wisconsin last winter. And what do we got there? What do you think that plant is, Rachel? I'm going to give you a quiz here. What do you think that is?
It kind of looks like a curled up, frosted Queen Anne's lace to me.
Ah. You know,
that would be my best guess.
I agree.
You all right. Well, then I'm not going to tell you what I thought it was. No, Queen Anne, yeah, actually, looking at it, that's probably it. Rolf will probably send a note back and let us know if we were right or not. But, yeah, it does look like Queen Anne's lace, but it's beautiful, beautiful shot. Jeff in Rock County, on to you now. Hi, Jeff. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to let everybody know about the new Nina Leopold Bradley Phenology Center at the Aldo Leopold Nature Center right here in Madison over in Monona at 300 Femwright Drive. So they put a new expansion on the Nature Center there with some fabulous world-class exhibits about climate science, and they've also got a whole section devoted to Nina, who was an emeritus board member over there.
And it is beautiful. I tell you, I've been over there on more than one occasion, and it is just a gorgeous, gorgeous facility. And
have you seen the new expansion?
Yes. Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, you should probably get somebody over there from there on your show one day.
Yeah, I probably should. My daughter has stayed overnight there at the center with a group of kids and has actually done that more than once. And the center folks take the youngsters out. They have a night show and or kind of a night activity, and then in the morning they have a hike through the marsh there, and it's a wonderful experience. But the facility is just phenomenal. Yeah,
and they're going to be concentrating on phenology too now.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a good point. And Janine, have you been there?
I actually have not seen the new wing. Oh, I need to get over there and see that. But the Nature Center is wonderful, and we work quite closely with them on a number of things. And Nina was integrally involved in both organizations, so it's wonderful that they decided to honor her in that way.
Thank you very much for calling, Jeff. Appreciate your call as well. We have, I've got some emails here. Dave in Barnes, Wisconsin. That's up where we have a cabin. I've been doing some phenology since I first read a Sand County Almanac in 1970. One new tool for phenology is the use of digital photography. Photos of the first hepaticas or the muskies spawning at the dam below Lower Eau Claire Lake or the date that ants first built their little mounds is identified on the photo you take in your explorations. You can use this tool to be sure you won't miss a phenological event in future years, and it can be used as a form of your phenology journal. So what do you think of that?
I think that's a great idea. And it goes back to the comment earlier about using drawings or photographs as a different type of documentation of phenology. If you're not a note-taking type of person, you don't have to be. You can just go out and take your photographs and your camera will record the date for you. Mm-hmm. And you can look back and see from year to year.
We had a Facebook question from Roger. Has anyone ever tracked winter to test the woolly caterpillar's forecasting ability? You know that the length of the winter will be related to the stripes of the woolly caterpillar. And I can tell you guys are shaking your heads in the wrong way, as in no. And Phil Pelletieri, my extension entomologist who's been on the show many times, I think just last week mentioned on the show when he was talking with Judith that there's not a documented connection for the woolly bear caterpillar stripes and cold. I hate to say it, but...
Just an old wives' tale, huh?
You wonder how it gets started, you know? All those kinds of things. But that's why I think the phenology is so much fun. I mean, you're writing down a recording in some fashion from one year to the next when various events occur. And so you've got a pretty accurate, at least for your little area of the world, forecast of what happens, what is happening and continuing to happen. And you know what? Ann in Cross Plains is with us, and I think I want to go to Ann. Let's go to Ann. Hi, Ann. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm enjoying the program. I just have a quote from Rachel Carson that I've always loved, and I think it has a lot to do with observing nature and seeing the patterns. There is a symbolic as well as actual beauty in the migration of the birds. There is something infinitely healing in the repeated refrains of nature. The assurance that dawn comes after night and spring after winter. I just think that's beautiful, and I think that's kind of what people are talking about today. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Isn't that, that's probably a great way to close, isn't it?
That's a great quote. Thank you for sharing that with us.
That is a wonderful quote, and I want to go back to the Wildlife Phenology Calendar again. I know you can take a look at it and get a copy of it by... Well, just go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and we've got a link to it there. But also, Janine, tell us where to go.
It's available from the Aldo Leopold Foundation website. That's aldoleopold.org.
There you go. And thank you both so much for being with us today. It's been a lot of fun. I hope we can do it again.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you for having us.
Janine Richards is the communications coordinator for the Aldo Leopold Foundation, and Rachel Sammerdike is a private lands biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Leopold Wetland Management District. And I tell you what, this wildlife phenology calendar that they have is wonderful. Some great photography, and it's really kind of fun to see. And the notes that Aldo Leopold and Nina, his daughter, took and are all present in this calendar. So we had a lot of fun with them. Climate change certainly is affecting the timing and duration of our seasons, and we talked about that a little bit, and other natural events. So we're going to move from the field to the laboratory now, and folks from the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center are coming up next to talk about some groundbreaking research on enzymes to make biofuels, which can hopefully slow down climate change from fossil fuel use. So stay tuned for another great discussion coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.